UMGoBlue.com. By fans, for fans. Since 1999.
Welcome to the UMGoBlue.com podcast. This is Phil Callahan along with
Andy Anderson.
And today we're going to discuss the home opener that saw the Michigan Wolverines triumph 59-9 over the Central Michigan Chippewas. Andy, I think it's safe to say that that was a hammering. What do you think?
Well, I was a little bit surprised at a number of things. One, I didn't think that Coach Hulk would open it up like he did there, and lay one on the league in which he was a prominent part for so long, at Ball State for a number of years, and he has a great respect for the league, so I don't think he laid it on. I think Michigan just had more talent, more speed, more size, more football players than Central did, although Central is not a bad team and probably not as bad as that score indicates, and they should go home and forget about that game and get going on the next one, which I am sure that they will. Anyway, it was quite gratifying to see Michigan get off to such a dandy start in an almost perfect game to start the season. Not that they played perfectly, they didn't, but it was a perfect situation for them to exercise all of their players.
Well, I'll tell you, as I predicted a much lower score. I really thought that Michigan was going to treat it more like a practice and try to run the ball with, that bevy of running backs, try to get some consistency on the ground and try to get some good work for the offensive line earlier in the first half. The second half was more what I expected. You know, we saw the carousel of running backs go in and out. We saw, Devin go out, and we saw Shane Morris come in. And I guess I'm happy with the win. I mean, it's hard to be unhappy with a 59-9 victory. I mean, definitely a butt kicking. But I still think there's a lot that we need to learn about this team, and I would have rather learned it against Central Michigan than next week against Notre Dame.
Yeah, next week against Notre Dame is going to be more of a test, more of a challenge. It's going to be tough. Notre Dame will play tough. They'll play harder. Central, though, gave it the old college try all the way. They never seemed to quit. And they did have some talent, but you're not Notre Dame. And Notre Dame will try to lay one on us. They'll try to black an eye. And we'll see if they can do it. Michigan has a lot of things that they have to work on. And one is penalties, and foolish mistakes like those penalties are going to get you in trouble against a quality team. Fortunately, Central was making about the same number of mistakes that we were, maybe even a few more. So it kind of balanced out, but in a close game against a good team, that could hurt you a lot.
Well, I think the main thing I took from that game is that the defense has the potential to be stifling. Not that Central was a great test, but the defense was put in some bad positions, by some turnovers and by some things, and they still held firm. I mean, three field goals is nothing to sneeze at, especially when the game was pretty much in hand for most of the second half. You could have understood maybe some backups getting in and the defense getting a little looser, and that didn't happen. I mean, Michigan definitely, they gave up two field goals in the first half and one field goal in the second half, so you could definitely make a case that they actually improved. So I think the defense looks good. I think you got to see the past and the future all in one game. Saw Fitz Toussaint get a fair number of carries and run up some good totals in yardage. But then you saw Derek Green just rumble in the second half, and I think it's going to be interesting to see. He's been so far down on the depth chart. There were rumors that, he was kind of in the doghouse for coming in perhaps a little heavy into fall camp. And then there was, he was a little dinged up. So, I mean, he was one of the last names listed on the depth chart, and he definitely made a huge impression in the second half. So I thought that was one of the things I took from it.
You know, he number 27 has great vision, and he picks his hole, and he's got a pretty good burst through it for a big man. He can really run, and he's going to be a force to be reckoned with before he's out of Michigan if he keeps his nose to the grindstone, can handle his studies, and take care of his personal life all right. The football is going to take care of him, because he's going to be a good player. I liked Devion Smith, too, didn't you?
Yep, he looked good.
He did?
Yeah, but, you know, the thing about it is, I mean, if you look at the top three rushers, I mean, Derek Green was the leading rusher with 58. Toussaint was second with 57. Gardner had 52. And, out of that, I think the biggest surprise to me was Gardner. I mean, Gardner ran like crazy in that first half. He was the leading rusher in the first half when, you know, I guess if you want to call the game in doubt, that was the only time that it was. And I'm a little surprised. Coming into the season, we heard a lot of talk from Coach Hoke and Coach Borges about how Michigan was going to return to a more pro-set offense, more power football, running downhill, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, the other thing we heard is that they wanted to, you know, it is Borges' preference to have one primary back. And what I thought watching the first half is, you know, I know you wanted one primary back, but I thought you didn't like it being the quarterback. And I was really surprised that Devin took off and ran as often as he did. And, you know, I know that it looks, if you watch the plays, it looked like he went through his progressions, but I'm still surprised that we didn't see more attempts at running in the first half by the running backs, to basically exercise the offensive line. You know, what we've seen when Michigan's had one primary quarterback, which has been, you know, the last three seasons, you know, the last under Rich and, the first two under Hoke and then coming into this year, is that it's not just the injuries that get you, it's the wear and tear over the season. And I'll tell you, every time Gardner scrambled in that first half, I was a little scared at what was going to happen. You know, getting hit by Central Michigan is not the same as getting hit by Notre Dame. So I hope that that he's a little more judicious with taking off next week.
You know, the TV announcer, the old Minnesota coach there, who absolutely knows what he's talking about, didn't like Devin running in that first half the way he did. He said it was sandlot football, that he was running because he was confused by the scheme that Central was putting at him, and so he took time, and as time passed during play, he figured out the scheme and either found an open receiver or made a run. The other thing I point out is that Coach Borges decided that he would start the game in the shotgun with a hurry-up offense.
Yeah, and I think Coach Hoke called that, you know, they started in NASCAR mode.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. But I think he was trying to throw off the opposition, but he may have thrown off Devin a little bit there at the start, because Devin either had the jitters or something. That was a very poor pass, that one he threw way down in his own end zone out, you know, into the flat there. That's the kind of pass that I'm very surprised to see them execute that close to their own goal. That really was a surprise to me.
Yeah, I thought it was a bad decision. And, the thing, I went back and watched the plays where Devin ended up scrambling. And I really thought that, you know, rather than being confused, I think he saw the opportunity and he took it. And again, Devin's is an amazing athlete. I mean, he is, you know, he has very long strides. He has great vision downfield. You know, one of the things that with Denard's, shorter height, he really didn't have. It's one of the things that I think really hampers him as a passer. But, you know, Devin has that. But again, he sees the field real well, and he definitely, you know, I mean, he scrambled well. He got yards. But the thing about it is it's again, it's the long-term wear and tear of running downfield. And, you know, you might be able to do that against Central, but, you know, do you need to do that? Or, are you going to be able to do that against Notre Dame? And I think that, you know, we talk about the team. Well, part of being the team is not being so dependent on having your quarterback make play after play. You know, if they're going to beat Notre Dame, it's going to have to be a much more balanced attack. And part of that is, you know, we've talked about this in the past with Denard. I think that one of the things that the offense did with Denard is the receivers would keep going downfield, hoping that they would create more gaps for him to run, and perhaps didn't, when they saw him in trouble, you know, one of the classic things you're supposed to do is basically break off your pattern and run toward the quarterback to make it easier for him to see you. Well, under Denard, I think that they basically ran their patterns, continued, wanting to create more space to create. Well, part of what we need to get working with the offense is for the safety valve passes to be there, for the receivers to make the correct reads if Devin's in trouble. Because again, what you can get away with against Central is going to be a far different matter of what you can get away with next week, and especially when we get into the Big Ten. So, listen, I'm happy with the result, but I really wish we would have done it a little differently.
Well, yes, you can't complain about the result. And some things that you did see were very, very nice. When have you seen in the recent past a Michigan team that was that deep, that big, that athletic, and that fast? And I can't remember one for a long, long time. It's been a couple of whiles. You have to hearken back a long way to before you saw that. And as these people grow, and I don't know whether that growth is going to occur this year or not. Nobody does. We don't know if they can stand up to the better teams, which they couldn't last year. They lost to the better teams they played. We'll see if they can change that. But the future, the potential really seems great there as these kids mature. It's just a flat fact that Hulk has a lot of big, fast football players. We'll see how smart they are. We can't tell yet how football smart they all are. But they seem to have the instinct and the ability. I really am jacked for the future.
You know, the other thing that you hit on is fast in greater numbers and so young. The future seems to be the upside here. You know, we talked before the season that if you laid everything out, you would expect this team to be at its peak next year. And I still think that's the case. I mean, you know, we talked about with, you know, all the young players and Coach Hoke touched on the huge number of true freshmen or redshirt freshmen who were playing yesterday. And, you know, he even mentioned when they went to the hotel the night before that it was like babysitting, because it's the first time a lot of these players have been in that situation. And, you know that he means it in a supportive way, but, you know, it was one of the things I remember even Rich Rod used to mention, that, you know, when he had a lot of younger players, that there's a lot of tic-tac things that you have, you know, questions you have to answer that when guys have been in the program a few years, you don't. But the present and the future look great for this team. Now, I'm still really concerned, as great as Shane Morris looked, I'm still concerned that, you know, if Devin gets hurt, that we'd be in a similar situation as last year. But, you know, as we go through this season and Morris gets more reps, you know, it won't be quite so dangerous. He, you know, definitely in mop-up time yesterday, he actually looked pretty good for a true freshman. So what do you think is the main thing the Wolverines will have to do to beat Notre Dame?
They have to prove that they can genuinely move the chains regularly on the ground and set up the play-action pass. I don't know whether Coach Borges is going to screw around with the shotgun anymore, or whether they're going to let that alone and basically go to the other. But in that last half, some of those replacements were opening holes. The second and third lines there were doing a heck of a job. And they were pushing off the ball, pushing the other people back, doing the things that you got to do to play ball or football, the kind of football that Michigan wants to play. I don't know whether they're ready to do that yet. I'm not totally convinced that the inside of that offensive line is totally cured yet. I'm concerned about the center. I don't know about that. But I'd like to say a few words about Glasgow. He looks like a football player. And why he wasn't rated someplace or why he came in under the glare of any kind of publicity, I don't know, because I think he's an outstanding football player. I think he's going to be an outstanding lineman. He looks good. So does Kalis. The weakness in three, maybe Jack Miller, but I don't know that for sure, and I hope he can develop and become a strength there.
Well,
but it's going to take some time. I thought he got shoved around a little.
To that point, Andy, I'll tell you that I'm working on a feature right now, and I went back and watched a lot of the plays, and I agree with everything you said, and I think Jack Miller did get pushed around a little bit. And part of the problem we have is, you know, in recent memory, we don't have to look too far back to a really great center. And you know who I'm talking about, David Mulk, you know, from two seasons ago. So, you know, last year there was quite a drop-off. I mean, we were adequate at the position, but it was definitely a step down from what we'd seen in the previous seasons. And I thought the same thing. You know, word out of camp is that Jack Miller was getting pushed really hard by Glasgow at center, and at first I was thinking, well, you know, that's not good to have a walk-on player pushing, your kind of tagged-on starter. But from what I've seen from Glasgow, you know, basically they had to find a position for him. He's either going to be at center or he's going to be at guard, but he's going to be in there, and it may be that Miller is the one who's going to find himself out. And, you know, I hope whatever happens that they get that solidified, but I think that's going to happen sooner rather than later. I wouldn't even be surprised if we see a change heading into this week.
Well, that would be something, wouldn't it? Well, it could happen, though. We'll see. They got some parts to work with, and it's such a pleasant change. The attitude of the team as a whole, too. This, so far, and they haven't lost any games yet, but this so far seems to me to be a very happy group, that they like playing football at Michigan, and that they must feel that they're all getting an honest chance at playing their football there. You don't hear of any dissension at all, not so much in other years, but it's just, when you talk to them, when you're around them, they seem to be happy people. And I like that. I think that's good for them as a team. It's going to be an interesting Notre Dame game. I think we have a shot at it, a decent chance to win. You never know, though. It's always a crapshoot against a team like that. You don't know how the calls are going to go, how the injuries are going to go, how the day is going to, or the night, in this case, is going to go. But I think we've got a shot at it, a good shot, and I hope it works out satisfactorily.
Well, you know, the frustrating thing about, you know, Notre Dame is you can make a pretty strong case that if we take care of the football just a little bit better last year, that, you know, we really should have won last year. So I'm trying to temper my enthusiasm, you know, especially playing at home, which I think is a major advantage. You know, there's a night and day difference, but between when this team goes on the road, and even though this is, you know, at night under the lights, you know, so it's a little different from a typical home game, I think that we're going to see their best play. You know, and there's the added drama of, you know, what Coach Hoke said about Notre Dame chickening out of the series after this year, and Coach Kelly saying that he really doesn't consider the Michigan-Notre Dame game to be a historic rivalry from his perspective. So both coaches have provided some bulletin board material. Not that this game needed it, but it definitely has a little bit of extra flavor. So I'm looking forward to what we're going to see. I feel good that that Michigan has a really good chance to prevail.
Like I said, we've got a good shot at it. I hope it works out. Anyway, all I can say is go blue.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of the UMGoldBlue.com podcast. This is Phil Callahan along with
Andy Anderson.
Go blue.
Thank you for listening to the UMGoBlue.com podcast. All rights reserved. Search for UMGoBlue.com on iTunes. Go Blue.